this year, all of the learning is dedicated L'Zeicha Nishmas, Rabbi Arbisfeld, Zochon Lebrach, Rabbi Chaim, Rabbi Avraham, who passed away last year at the beginning of the COVID pandemic. And Punkt today happens to be the yard site of Mrs. Arbisfeld's uncle, Mr. Nathan Berger, so we dedicate the learning with Zecha Nishmosa as well. I'm Nosson Barat Bar Yaleib, whose yahrzeit is Gimel Nissen. This year we started learning Hilchos Shabbos, and we left off last week, I think, in the middle of Reish Ayin Dalet, Simen Batzias HaPas. The Gemara says that Zecha Lemon, the Mon didn't fall down neither on Shabbos nor on Yom Tov. So the Chachamim made a takana. That's the most of the poskim hold that it's a din derabbanan. There's a very minority opinion that it's a din deraisa, but we don't really accept that. The Chachamim made a takana derabbanan that we should make a zecha l'mon. So we have two things that are zecha l'mon. One is that we have lecha mishneh because the mon didn't fall down on Shabbos, so a double portion came down on erev Shabbos and on erev Yom Tov. And because the Pasuk mentions three times the word Hayom, Yichlu Hayom, Yishabbos Hayom, Lashem Hayom, Lasimtzu, Basodem, so the word Hayom appears three times, so this led the Gemara to understand that they had three Sudas on Shabbos, one on Friday night, one on Shabbos morning, one on Shabbos afternoon. So we have Zecha Laman, we have the Shalosh Sudas as well. The Gemara says that when you say Hamotzi, the Gemara Bracha says, you shouldn't take, let's say you have a gigantic challah, you shouldn't just cut off the tip of the challah, looks as if that's all you're going to eat. The Gemara has an expression, one of the Amarayim, Botza Akula Sheirusa. He cut on the whole amount of challah that he was going to eat in the course of the meal. That's how Rashi translates the Gemara, that if you plan to eat, you plan to eat three slices, and the other people at the table, so cut. Cut into the middle of the challah. Even though each one right now is only going to have one slice, cut into the middle of the challah to demonstrate that you're going to eat a lot of challah. That shows chavivus, that you enjoy eating the challah. That's how Rashi learns. That's the way it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. The Vilna Gaon adopts the position of the Rashboa, that Batzah Kula Sheirusa means a different thing. That you have to cut both challahs. Friday night you cut both challahs, Shabbos morning you cut both challahs, and Shalosh Shudas you cut both challahs. And this is what the Vilna Gaon said, this is what is meant in the passage in the Zohar, that on Shabbos morning every week in the Beis HaMikdash they switched the Lechem Aponim, there were 12 challahs Lechem Aponim, two piles, Sheish HaMaroches, two piles, each pile had six challahs. Matzahs, they weren't challahs, they weren't chametz, they were matzahs. So the Zohar says the challahs that we eat on Shabbos should be a zechel alechem aponim, so we should have 12 challahs. So there are Hasidish Rebbes who follow this passage in the Zohar. So when they say hamotzi on Shabbos, they cut lechem mishneh, they have another 10 challahs on the table. The 2 and the 10 add up to 12. So zechel alechem aponim. So the Vilna Gaon thought that was a mistake. He thought that the Zohar didn't mean to say 12 challahs each time that you say Hamotzi. If you need two shleimas Friday night and you cut both, and you need two shleimas Shabbos morning and you cut both, you need two shleimas Shalosh Shudas and you cut both, so you have six challahs all cut in half, so you have 12 chatzoim, not 12 challahs. He thought that it's a misprint in the Zohar. Should say 12 chatzoim. Many have that practice, like the Vilna Gaon, they cut both challahs. The challah that you don't cut is like it's still in the bakery. It's not mitzarev to the lechem mishneh. That was the Gaon was followed the pshat of the Rashboa in that Gemara. Then in Siv Gimel we have the din and the Gemara. Ein hamsubim simereisha in dalet Siv Gimel. When I say hamotzi and I pass down challah to all of the people at the table, so the din is they're not permitted to begin eating challah till I eat some challah first. So we pointed out that this is two opinions in Tosfos. What is the nature of this din? So one opinion is that it's a din in Hilchos Brichos Hanenin. I can't say Hamotzi for someone else unless I'm eating along with them. So if I say Hamotzi and I didn't begin to eat anything yet, so the Bracha of Hamotzi wasn't Chal for me yet. So if it didn't take effect for me, so you can't be Yotzi Shemer Kaina with my bracha either. So first you have to wait till I swallow a little bit of challah, then my bracha was chal, my bracha amoytzi was chal, and then you can start to eat challah. That's how one day in Tosis is. But the Shulchan Aruch paskens like the second day in Tosis, because they quote a Yerushalmi like that. What happens, let's say I have lechem mishnah, but all the other people around the table have a shlema. So they don't need a slice of challah from me. It's considered lechem mishnah. I have one challah and they have one challah. So even though I'm not picking up both challahs together, they don't have to eat davka from the two challahs that I have in front of me, my lechem mishnah, they have one challah. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, if each one has his own lechem mishnah, the others are permitted to eat before me. If it would have been a din in Hilchus Birchas Hanenin that my bracha amoitzi is not chal, unless I eat some challah, and the others can't be yotze with shemer kain unless my bracha was chal for me, so it shouldn't make a difference whether they have their own lechem mishnah or not. So the second, this is gepaskan like the second opinion in Tosis, based on this passage from the Rishalmi that they quote. That this din, that it's not right that the other should begin to eat before me, it's a din in Hilchus Derech Eretz. It's not a din in Hilchus Birchas Hanenin. Even though I didn't start to eat challah yet, but I plan to eat the slice of challah later. So the bracha was challah ready now. I plan to eat. If I just say hamotzei and it turns out I never eat any challah, it turns out my bracha was a bracha levatol. I can't say hamotzei for you unless I'm being yotzei myself. But if I say hamotzei and I plan to have challah, and you begin eating your challah before me, it's not a problem in Hilchus Birchas Hanenin. It's a problem in Derech Eretz. I'm giving you for my challah and you're chapping ice, you're eating before me. But if you have your own lechem mishnah, just you being yotze with my bracha, then there's no problem of Derech Eretz. So that's the pshat that we accept la halacha.
I know someone that after the balabos makes motzi on lechem mishnah, this fellow grabs the lechem mishnah and makes stone bracha. Is there an inyan to that?
In Galicia, that was a common practice, that even though one person was moitzi, everybody with the hamotzi, when you would give everybody a slice of challah, everyone would say their own hamotzi and a slice of challah. So the pashta says that that's not proper, because if they're not yotze with my hamotzi, then they're saying hamotzi on a prusa, and that's not right. They're supposed to say the hamotzi is supposed to be recited over two shlemas, over lech mishnah of two shlemas. So the Malamed Lohail has a tshuva where he somehow justifies the practice. Malamed Lohail lived in Germany. Maybe it was such a meeting in Germany as well. I don't know. He justifies the practice that the people, the listeners, had a mind to be yotzi with lech mishnah, but they didn't have a mind to be yotzi with the hamotzi. So what do you mean? The yotzi with the hamotzi of the mevarech, the Balabai says hamotzi to be hamotzi everybody with the mitzvah of lechem mishnah, to say hamotzi over lechem mishnah, and then you get a slice and you say hamotzi over your own challah. It's difficult. The pashta says that the other should not say. You say a different thing, that the after the Balabai says hamotzi and it didn't cut the two challahs yet, so the other person takes hold of the lechem mishnah when it's still shlemus, and then he says his own hamotzi. More correct is that everyone should be yotzei b'ray v'am hadras melech. Everybody should be yotzei with one bracha.
Some people insist on making their own kiddush, and you know, I've got to be motzei my wife, I got to be motzei my people. That doesn't seem right to me either. It's b'ray v'am hadras melech, no?
Right. That's in Shulchan Aruch. It sounds like that. It's in Hilchus Kiddush. It sounds like it's preferable that each person should say his own kiddush. And the Vilna Gaon says that that's against the Gemara. The more correct is b'ray v'am hadras melech. One should say kiddush to be moitzi everybody. We should really do the same when you put on tefillin in the morning, when you put on a talis. If you have 10 people, if you have 3 people, if you have a group of people, it doesn't have to dafke be a minyan of asara. If you have a group of people, they're all about to put on a talis, so it's better that one person should say the bracha l'satei b'tzitzis rather than have each and every individual person say his own bracha. Because of b'ray v'am hadras melech. We don't do that because usually not everybody's holding by the same thing at the same time. Everybody puts on the talis a different time. But in the Shulchan Aruch it says theoretically that would be more correct, that one person should say the bracha on the talis to be moitzi everybody. One bracha said it. One person said the bracha on the tefillin to be moitzi everybody. Okay, so that's Simon Ayin Reish Ayin Reish Dal. Ayin Reish Hey is a simon that doesn't really apply too much today. Hardly applies at all. In the days of the Gemara, they used to have a nair was a cup of oil with a wick, and a lot of times the wick wouldn't burn properly in the middle of the week, and a person would have to correct it. We'd have to fix it. So on Shabbos, they prohibited to read the Oraner if it's something that you have to concentrate on when you're reading. If you're davening Ma'ariv, so most of the Ma'ariv, you daven Ma'ariv every night. So you know the Ma'ariv by heart. Every Friday night, you daven after Kiddushta. Everybody knows basically the davening. Even Bama Madlikin, everybody who says Bama Madlikin knows it more or less by heart. So you only have to look a little bit in the Siddur. So that's not a problem that he's going to be so concentrating on the city, he's going to forget that it's Shabbos. So there's no concern over there, Shema Yaka. But if he's going to say, let's say, Piyutim, that you only say once a year, Maravis, let's say, Yontav Shecholiyas for Shabbos. So in many communities, they say Piyutim in the middle of Brichas Kriya Shema at night, that's called Maravis. So the Maravis you only say once a year, so most people do not remember it from one year to the other. So that you need Iyun, or let's say a person's going to be Mavis Sedra with the Targum Onkelos, with Rashi, with the Ramban. We don't all remember all the Rashis and all the Rambans from last year. So that's Takat Zorachian. You have to concentrate in a strong way. So we're afraid that if it needs Iyun, so he may be so involved in concentrating on what he's reading, he may forget. Nezach HaShash Hashem Ayata. One of the Tanoim says he thought that the reason for the Gzeira doesn't apply, the old reason why you're not allowed to learn, or aner, Shemayata, so he decided, ani ekra v'loyata, I'm knowledgeable, I'm not fashlofen, I'm a learned person, I'm going to read Lor aner, it's not going to happen to me. What happened was, Koravahita, and he learned Lor aner, was learning in a sefer Lor aner, and he forgot that it was Shabbos, and he fixed it there. So he said he's going to have to write down on his diary when the Beis HaMikdash will be built, if he'll still be alive at that time. He'll have to bring a chatos. When the Beis HaMikdash will be built, whoever became, let's say, all of those who converted, Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, every ger is mukhiv to bring a korban oilam. The Gemara says it's not ma'akev, the ger is mitzarev to a minyan, it can be the Baal Tefila, he's mukhiv to do all the mitzvahs and so on. But he's mukhiv to bring a korban oilam. So if the Gerim now should live so long to be Zoicha to see the third Beis HaMikdash built, he'll have to bring Korban. So that you're not going to forget. The Ger knows that he has to bring a Korban. And my wife had 9 babies, so my wife will have to bring 9 sets of Korbanos when the Beis HaMikdash will be built. But every time a person ate Chela B'Shoigig or Dam B'Shoigig or was Mechal Shabbos B'Shoigig with the Melacha Deraisa, you have to write down on a diary that I have to remember to bring a chatas when the Beis HaMikdash will be built. Chatas for each time the person was Mechalel Shabbos. So the and then that Tana said, Kama Gedolim Dibur Chachamim, look how great the Chachamim were, that they said, Ein Korim Le'or Aner, you're not allowed to read Le'or Aner. What does that mean? So they quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon, what mean Kama Gedolim Dibur Chachamim? He's giving a haskamah to the Gzera that the earlier generations made. He said, no, the Chachamim said, Ein Korim Lor Aner, period. They didn't give the reason why. And then when he heard the reason why, he said, oh, the reason doesn't apply to me. On the Ekra V'loi Hatta, I'm not going to forget. So he said, Kamagdonim Dibbe Chacham, that they said, Ein Korim Lor Aner. They didn't say the reason. Best is not to be Mefarsim the reason. The Gemara says in Masechus Avodah Zarah, and the Lamids, the Gemara says that in Eretz Yisrael, in Marava, they had a practice when the Bezin would make a Gzeira de Rabbanon, they wouldn't reveal the reason for the Gzeira for a whole year. Because if we're going to say, we made a Gzeira because of this reason, so every Tom, Dick, and Harry will decide on his own. I'm an intelligent person. That Gzeira doesn't apply to me. That only applies to Amaratzim. I'm learning enough. I'm going to be careful. So they would never reveal the reason. The Gemara says when they made a Gzeira de Rabbanon, when they made the Gzeira de Rabbanon against
Vina
Sakum.
Vina.
And Vina Sakum, so they invited a few Tanoim to come to the meeting to discuss the issue. So one of the Tanaim wasn't able to come. And then he heard that they made Gzeir the Rabbanan not to eat Tvino Satan. So the next day he meets the others who did attend the meeting, and he asks, I understand you made Gzeir the Rabbanan, what's the reason? So they said, sorry, you weren't there by the meeting, we're not allowed to reveal the reason for a year. So then, because you're not allowed to reveal, if he would have been there, he would have been discussing the reason. But look, he was invited to come, but he couldn't show up. So then, because he wasn't there, so he was included in the prohibition. You're not allowed to tell that Tana either. Even though if he would have come, he would have heard the reason, but he wasn't there at the meeting. So you're not allowed to reveal the reason. So because they didn't reveal the reason, so that's why by the time the Gemara was written down, the Gemara wasn't sure what the reason is. Why did they prohibit Venus Akamara? It has seven different explanations. There's a Machlekes in the Rishayim. What's the real reason for the Gzeira de Rabbanan? But that's what the Gemara says. They wouldn't reveal the reason because every individual will say, I don't have to observe that Gzeira D'Rabbanan. I'm intelligent enough to be careful that it shouldn't apply to me. So that's how they're only going to interpret it. That this Tana, who is Korah Behita, by mistake, he said, Kama G'dolim Dima Chachamim, that they said in Korim La'araner, period. They didn't say Gzeira Shemayat. They didn't want to reveal the reason. So no one can say Ani Ekrov Elayate. No one knows the reason why, so we'll observe the din. Yeah, so Pashta says that this whole din only applies if you have oil with a wick. So sometimes it doesn't burn well and you have to fix it. Or even if you have a candle, sometimes you have to pull off part of the wick of the candle if there's a little black, a little chunk of black on the candle.
Charcoal.
Yep. Charcoal, yeah. But if you have an electric bulb, so it's not going to flicker and it's not going to help, but what are you going to do? There's nothing to do. So years ago, about 100 years ago here in America, the Rabbanim were discussing, maybe it applies if you have a three-way bulb. If you turn it once, it only has 50 watts. If you turn it twice, it has 100 watts. If you turn it a third time, it has 150 watts. So maybe the person will be reading and he'll think, I can't read well because it's on the lowest level. Even if it's on the highest, he may make a mistake. He may think it's on the first level or the second level. And he'll think he's going to turn it higher. Or sometimes you have a fixture which has two bulbs. So if you turn the button once, one bulb goes on. If you turn the button a second time, both bulbs will be on. So that's what the Rabbanim were discussing around 100 years ago in America. Maybe if you have such a fixture, if you have a three-way bulb, maybe then the Issur should apply even to electric bulbs. Not that it'll be flickering now. It won't be flickering now. There won't be any charcoal on the wick. But it could be that it'll be a little dim, and he'll think that by turning the button, it'll make it even brighter. So that's a question. Maybe the din applies over there. The minhag always was that even in the shulva they say Marovis, they wouldn't say piyutim in the middle of Brichas Kriya Shema. They wouldn't say Marovis yantab shecholiyas b'shabbos because of the chashash shemayata, because they had candles in the shul, and the people didn't know the Marovis by heart. Ma'ariv, they knew by heart basically. But Mamadlikin also, they say it every week, so basically you know what it says. You don't have to. It's not such a, you don't have to concentrate so hard. Also, the Gemara says that the Talmidim, the children are learning by the Rebbe, and the Rebbe used to learn with the children even on Shabbos, on Friday night, so there's no chashash shemayat on the Talmidim, because the Talmidim have pachad, they have meira from the Rebbe, so none of them will go over, even in the middle of the week, no one will dare walk over to fix the flame. Maybe the Rebbe will fix them, but the Rebbe knows the Parsha by heart, so there's no chashash on him. He's not concentrating on the Parsha. The Talmidim are saying it for the first time. So since Meir Rabba Maleim, so that's why the Gzeira doesn't apply. That's why in Shulchan Aruch they have that on Yom Kippur here, Sifches. On Yom Kippur, people are much more serious than all year long. Just like the Gemara says, the children, they're not going to touch the candle at all, even on the weekdays. Yom Kippur also, people have Amos Adin, so they're going to be careful. Shemayata doesn't apply to anybody, not only to the Talmidim doesn't apply. But basically, this whole simon doesn't apply today. The only time it applies in the three-way bow, that's an issue. Simen Reish Ayin Vav. What's the din? Are you permitted to ask a Nachri to turn on a light on Shabbos if it starts? So that's Amir on a Nachri, you're not permitted to. What if it's a Mokka Mitzvah? The Ramon Sif base quotes, what if you have a Sheva Brachas, or you have a Chasana? They used to have Chasanas late Friday afternoon, and the Sudas HaChasana was Friday night. They couldn't afford to have another Fleishik meal, two Fleishik meals in 1 week. They only have Fleishiks on Friday night. So the Chasana would always take place Friday afternoon, and then the Sudas Chasana would be the Friday night meal. So if you have, let's say, all the candles went out, are you permitted to ask a Nochri to light the candles? Some Sudas Shabbos is also Sudas Mitzvah, or there's a Sheva Brachas on Shabbos, or something like that. So the Ramah quotes the Baluiter as one of the Baliatosis, who allows Amira Lanachri B'makam Mitzvah, because the Gemara, the first parak in Gittin, says that we would permit Amira Lanachri Mishum Yishev Eretz Yisrael Hitir. Amira Lanachri is only Mid Rabbanan, it's not an Issa Deraisa. In the case where Amira Lanachri would be an Issa Deraisa, then you don't have any Kulus at all. Issa Deraisa, you can only be Mekel if there's a Pikuach Nefesh, or a Sofek Sakanas Nefashis, or something. But the Amir Lenachri is only a Shavuz Mid Rabbanan. Why did they invent such a Shavuz Mid Rabbanan? So that's what, when we started Hilchot Shabbos, we spoke a little bit about that. That the Pasuk says in the Aseres Adibas, Lasasuka Malacha, Ata Vigerucha Shebisharecha. Ata Bincha Bitecha, Namas Chamitecha, Vigerucha Shebisharecha. So the Gemara comments, Rashi and Chumash quotes, what do you mean, Gerucha Shebisharecha? A Ger is Jewish, he's included in Ata. Ata doesn't only apply to the people who are standing at Har Sinai. Throughout all the generations, whoever is after Bar Mitzvah is included in Ata. So what does it say, Bincha Bitecha? So Bincha Bitecha goes on Ketanim, or not Bar Mitzvah. Anyone who's Bar Mitzvah is included in Ata. And any Ger who converted is included in Ata. So what do you need, Gercha Shebisharecha? So the Gemara says, Gercha Shebisharecha refers to a Ger Toshav. He's not a convert. It's not that he was Mekabel on himself to observe all the Taryag mitzvahs. That's a real Ger. That's a Ger Tzedek. Ger Toshav means a non-Jew who's obligated to observe Sheva mitzvahs. But all the Nochrim are obligated to observe all the Sheva mitzvahs ben Erech. There's a whole sugi in Sanhedrin on Daf Nun Ches. That's how people remember it. Bnei Noach is on Daf Nun Ches about the Sheva mitzvahs bnei Noach. So a Ger Toshav means one who officially accepted upon himself, he committed himself to observe the Sheva mitzvahs bnei Noach. So the Achrayim ask, what is the significance? What's the relevance of being mekabel? Is mechuyev whether he's mekabel or not mekabel? If I accept upon myself to give you a maton $1,000, that's a his chayvus. Because if I don't accept, I'm not mechuyev. But what do you mean? The Ger Toshav is the nachri who's mekabel, who commits himself to observe the Shem. Whether he commits, he does give, he's obligated to observe the Shem mitzvahs. So the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva where he interprets all Gemara increases on Daf Tesam and Aleph. What it means is the Ger Toshav has to, because he committed himself to observe the Shem mitzvahs b'nei Nayach, he has to observe those mitzvahs in a more detailed form. Any other ben Nayach just observes the bare minimum of the Shem mitzvahs. But a Ger Toshav who commits himself to observe it has to observe the Sheva mitzvahs with all the abizrayus, with all the mitzvahs that are related to the Sheva mitzvahs. So that's why there were opinions in the Tanoim that the Ger Toshav is obligated to observe Shabbos. Why? Because that's what it means in Aseres Adibas. You should observe Shabbos. Saska Melacha Ato Bincha. The Ger Chavshev Sharecha. The Ger Toshav has to observe Shabbos. Why? Because by observing Shabbos, we demonstrate that we believe in the story of creation. Because he's not demonstrating that he believes in the story of creation, like he doesn't believe in God created the world. So the Ger Toshav, who committed himself to observe the Din of Avodah Zarah, not to worship Avodah Zarah, has to observe the Din of Avodah Zarah in a more detailed form, and Shmira Shabbos is a detail. It enhances the observance of not worshipping Avodah Zarah. Because by observing Shabbos, he demonstrates that he believes in the story of Bria Shamayim Ba'aretz. And it means something to him, that there's a very Olam in the world, and it's mechuyev to listen to the mitzvah. So that's why there was an opinion in the Tanoim that the Gartoshev is mechuyav to observe Shabbos. But the Gemara says, to what extent is he going to observe Shabbos? If he'll observe Shabbos, that we observe Shabbos, that he's not permitted to do. The Gemara learns that from a pasuk that Anochri Sheshavas Chai Misan. Pasuk in the end of Parshas Noach, Yamam Alayla Lo Yishbosum. The Nochem are not permitted to observe Shabbos. So the first, there are three opinions in the Tanoim. So the first Tanoim says that the Nochri can only observe Shabbos like the Jewish people observe Yontif. Second Tanoim says that's also a violation of Nochri Sheshavas. He's not allowed to observe Shabbos like we observe Yontif. He's only permitted to observe Shabbos the way we observe Chalamoy. More Kal than Yontif. And the third Tanoim is Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. The Gemara says, we pass on like the third Tanoim. He's not even, the Nochri, even though he's a Ger Toshev, he's not even permitted to observe Shabbos the way the Jewish people observe Chalamoy. Not permitted to observe Shabbos at all. So what does it mean in the Asaras HaDibas L'Asas HaKamalocha Gercha Shebish Arecho? But the Pasuk Sof Kol Sof does say that the Ger Toshev is obligated to observe Shabbos. The Gemara never answers, what does the Pasuk mean? So there's a Tosfos in Yevamos, round off Mem Zayin, Mem Ches HaSo, but Tosfos explains, no, the Pasuk says, L'Asas HaMalocha Gercha Shebish Arecho, Amir L'Ger Toshev is an Isa Derais. If I ask the Ger Toshev to do a malacha for me, that's an Isa Derais. So we say, called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein Derais a Tikkun. The Chachamim took that pasuk to ask a Ger Toshev to do a malacha for me is an Isa Derais from Aseres Hadibros. So they extended it. You shouldn't ask any Nochri to do a malacha for you. Amir, the Nochri Shvus is an extension. All the Dinim Derabbanan are rooted in Dinim Derais. They're patterned after Dinim Derais. So to ask a Ger Toshev to do malacha for me would only be mutter if it's mamish sakonis defoshet, suffix sakona. But to ask a nachri, so then we have a lot of kulas. So one of the kulas is for a cholish aimba sakona. We're permitted to do amir and a nachri. So the Gemara has one of the kulas. One of the kulas is in Gittin Davches and Aveis. If a Jew is buying a house in Eretz Israel, that's owned by a non-Jew. So he's buying the house, it's nichnas into Kedushas Yisrael. We're going to get, it's not right that Nochrim own karka in Eretz Yisrael. We should see to it that all the karka should be in Jewish hands. So that's considered a mitzvah of Yishad Eretz Yisrael, to buy the karka from the Nochrim. So sometimes the Nochrim only are auctioning off a house. There's a sale on a house in Eretz Yisrael or a farm in Eretz Yisrael. Sometimes they'll only sell it on Yom Kippur. Sometimes they'll only sell it on a Shabbos. They won't sell it on the weekdays. So the Gemara says you can take a Nochri with you and have the Nochri pay. Have the Nochri write the shtar. Amir and the Nochri is mutam shem yishav Eretz Yisrael. So the Baal HaIter, one of the Baal HaTosfos, the Baal HaIter, was of the opinion that it's lav davka mishum yishav Eretz Yisrael, mishum amir and the Nochri, but maka mitzvah, any mitzvah. Amir and Nochri, but maka many mitzvah is mutam. So the Ramah says there was such a practice. He's not happy about it. He says, more correct is you shouldn't rely on this kula. But he says he can't be moicha biyadim because they are following the Baal HaIter. But more correct is we don't allow them. We don't permit amir and nochem b'makam any mitzvah. Only mishum yishav eretz yisrael itiru. Or if it's a mitzvah the rabbim, Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Chayyadam. If the Erev broke, the string of the Erev broke, and it's a big village, and you won't be able to notify all the people. The people are certainly going to be carrying. They heard in the beginning of Shabbos, the Erev is up, so they're going to carry the rest of Shabbos. You won't be able to notify everyone. Some of the people will carry, even if they find out that the Erev is down. So Mishum, that's Mishum Mitzvah Derabim. We allow Amir and the Nochri, we're permitted to ask the Nochri to do Mamish Malachas Deraisa. To drive a car on Shabbos. Acham Avadya writes, he thinks that that's a malacha deraisa al havar, because you're burning gasoline. To drive a car on Yontif, he thinks it's only an isa derabbanan, because moilad esh mecharosh is not allowed. You're not allowed to strike a match. Even if it's dark in the room, you have to light a candle from an already existing flame on Yontif. You're not allowed to light moilad esh mecharosh. You're not allowed to strike a match. So the Taz says, based on the Rambam, that Moilad Esh Mechadosh on Yom Tov is an Isa Deraisa, and his opinion has not been accepted. Roiv of the Achranim reject the Taz. They say it's not true. The Moilad Esh Mechadosh is an Isa Derabbanan. So Chacham Avadya writes, and when you drive a car, you're really burning up gasoline. So that's, and your mother esh mechadish, when you turn on the ignition. You're making the fire. There was no fire before. So he thinks that on Shabbos, it's an Issa deraisa of the Havar. On Yontel, Havar is mutter, the tzarech ochal nevesh, or the tzarech hayom tzas. So if the person is driving on Yontel, obviously he wants to get somewhere. So it's a tzarech hayom tzas. So it's only an Issa derabbanan of Moler Esh Mechadosh. So the Psak HaMekubal on Shulchan Aruch, this we discussed when we started at the beginning of the year, that Ashvuz Deshuz Bamaka Mitzvah is mutter. To ask a Nochri to do a Malacha is only an Issa derabbanan, and to drive an automobile on Yontif is only an Issa derabbanan. So to ask a Nochri to drive an automobile Bamaka Mitzvah, so that we would be Megal. But to ask a Nochri to drive an automobile on Shabbos, that's an Issa deraisa. That we can only be mekel if you have at least a chalush emes sakana or tzorchei tinoik. It says in Shulchan Aruch here in this siman and earlier that the tzorchei tinoik is considered like all the tzorachim of a young child is considered like a chalush emes sakana. So mir with a nachri would be mutter b'makom chalush emes sakana. So here in the Shulchan Aruch they have the din. If a nachri asa malacha, I didn't ask the nachri to do the malacha. The nachri volunteered on his own. He went fishing, and he comes to my home, and he says, Rabbi, I just went fishing, and I caught this fish specially for you. He caught some fish for himself, and then he caught a fish for me. So the Gemara says, if the Nochri did it, I didn't ask him to do it, so I didn't violate Amir Nochri, did it on his own. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to be Nana. Not only if he did it for me, I'm not allowed to be Nana. If he went fishing for me, no Jew is allowed to be Nana. No Jewish person is allowed to be Nana. Why did they prohibit this? And that's a famous machlekes, Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says you're not allowed to get hanor from a malacha that was done by Isser on Shabbos. And Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. That's not the reason why. Tosfos says that the Tanoim knew that this, the Chachamim who instituted the prohibition of Amir and Nochri Shavuos, knew that this Gzeira de Rabbanon is not going to be too lucky. Not too many people are going to observe this. The Jews throughout all the generations, many of them violated Amir Lenoch. And there was a professor from Hebrew University put out a whole book, Goy Shel Shabbat, the whole history of the Hishtalshalos, the development of the Shabbos Goy, the way how it first started, and then everybody's Mekel, everybody's Mezalzel. So many people violate Amir Lenoch. So the Chachamim felt, in order to be Mechazik, this din of Amir Lenoch, Shavuos, and its Aser, so they wanted to add on, so they said, and even if the Nochri did it on his own, it's still also for you to be Nana. They added that on because they knew, they thought that many people will violate Amir Lenoch, they'll ask the guy to do the Malacha for them, and they'll make it look like an accident, and make it look as if the Nochri volunteered it on his own. So the Tanoim said, even if it's true that the Nochri volunteered it on his own, you're still not allowed to get Anor. So this Gzeru would serve as a deterrent. So it doesn't pay that I should ask the Nochri to do the Malacha if I can't be Nana from it anyway. So that's the din in the Gemara. The Gemara says if a Nochri on Yontav you're allowed to carry, but you're not allowed to carry Michutz L'Tchum. So let's say the Nochri brought something for me, Michutz L'Tchum. So the Gemara says it's only Aser for Mishuhu V'Bishvilo. It's Muta for other people. So why do you distinguish here? It sounds like Nochri She'id L'Kasaner. No one's allowed to get Hanoah. No Jewish person's allowed to get Hanoah. Why is over there? Nochri bought Mechutz L'Tchum. So there are different opinions in the Rishonim. So some Rishonim explain because Tchumen, each person has officially his own Tchum. If you live in one city, you have one Tchum. You live in a different city, you have a different Tchum. So since Tchumen is not Shavuot, L'chol Echod, everybody has their own Tchum Shabbos, depending on where you were at the beginning of Shabbos, where you're kind of Shvisa, the Bein Hashmashes of the beginning of Shabbos, so therefore the cheshbon of Tchumen is different for each person. So therefore, by Tchumen is the one exception to the rule, that even though the Nochri brought something Mechutz L'Tchum on Shabbos for me, it's only also for me, for all the other people, even if the other people have the exact same Tchum Shabbos, it's only also for me, because Tchumen is a personal thing. That's not the accepted opinion. We assume that it's a different difference. The difference is that Tchumen is only the Rabbanan. Goy Chutz L'Tchum, and bringing things Chutz M'Tchum on Yontif is only the Rabbanan. Asheni Kein, lighting a candle if the Nochri lit a candle, if the Nochri built in the days of the Gemara when a boat would land, so they would make a ramp. They didn't have ready-made. They would construct a ramp depending on the banks of the river, the edge of the city, that would fit on that boat. So to make a ramp, to do bona, to be makabat batisha, to make a nair, that's a malacha deraisa. So whatever the Nochri does a malacha deraisa, it's also l'chol Yisrael. Not only l'misha nasa b'shvila, afil l'misha lehud lak b'shvila. That's the first line in Reish Ayin Vav. But if something was brought on Yom Tov minchutz l'tum ahu adinami, if the Nochri only violated some Issa derabanan, he didn't violate an Issa deraisa, he violated an Issa derabanan, then it's only also l'misha nasa b'shvila to be nene from it. Yeah. That's how we accept La Halacha, the difference. Yeah. What if the Nochri, let's say, turned on the light, there was a dark room, and there are 30 people sitting in the room, 20 Goyim and 10 Jews, or 20 Jews and 10 Goyim. So then the Gemara says, you go Basar Reif. If Reif of the people on whose behalf he turned on the lights are Goyim, so turning on the lights is one act. He's turned on the switch, and all the lights went on. So if Reif of the people are going to benefit from it, Anochrim, it's considered Nachrish Asim Alacha Bishvil Nachrim, then there is no Gzeira Derabbanan that you're not allowed to be Nena. But if Reiv of the people who are going to be Nena from the light that the Nachri turned on are Yisraelim, then I consider it as Nachrish Asim Alacha Bishvil Yisrael, and none of them are permitted to get Hanoi. If it's Machzah Machzah, so also it's Asim. So this is a Shaila, Rav Soloveitchik raised the question when we were learning this Gemara in Rosh Hashanah in Masech HaShabbos. What is the din over here? Nachash asa malacha b'shvil Yisrael is when they asid? Or do you say no? If Nachash asa malacha b'shvil Nachri, that's a matir. The nafkamina would be, what if a malacha shen asas me'elah? Let's say peres ha'neshim, mashken shezobu. You're not allowed to pluck off fruits from the tree. Sometimes the fruits fall off from the tree by themselves. The apples fall off. So do you say, a malacha shen asas me'elah? Also you're not allowed to get hanoim? And the only exception to the rule is Nachri Shasim Alacha Bishvil Nachri, that's a matir. Or do you say, no, it's only Yosef, Nachri Shasim Alacha Bishvil Yisrael. If it's Malachish and Asas Me'elehom, they never ask it. So that's an issue in the Gemara. The Mishnah has, the Mishnah Masech HaShabbos, talks about Mashken Shezogu. You're not allowed to squeeze out the juice from Zeisim Vanovim, that's a Malacha Deraisa. So what if it turns out that the juice oozed out by itself on Shabbos and Yom Tov? You're not allowed to have, you're not allowed to squeeze out, even though there's Eter Rochel Nefesh, but it doesn't permit you, to, let's say, to take oranges and squeeze out the orange juice. That's also on Yom Tov, also on Shabbos. Even though it's Rochel Nefesh, Igmar said the favorite that it's also. So there's a Mishnah that Mashkin Shezobah Me'aleim is also. There's a Mishnah in Psoch and that Peres Anoshim is also, both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. So when you learn the Gemara, the first daf and beit, so you get the distinct impression from the Gemara that these are two unrelated gzeiras. They made one separate gzeira, Mashken Shezavu, made another gzeira, Peres HaNoshim in a dekel, fruit that fell off from the dekel, and it's not one and the same. The Ramban in the Melchamas and Perek Ein Tzadin, the third Perek in beit, so the Ramban presents it, not like the Gemara. The Ramban learns based on other Gemaras. He understands that other Gemaras disagree with the Gemara, the first half of Beit, so that they made a gzeira, any malacha, even malacha shenasis me'elecha. You're not allowed to get any benefit at all. The only time you have a heter is if it's nachri shas malacha bishvil nachri. If he did it bishvil nachri, that's a matir. But you don't need that it should be nasa bishvil yisot to be a nois. Even malacha shenasis me'elecha will also be awesome to get hanoi. So that's a question, that's for some raise the question. Let's say I set the Shabbos clock and the lights go off on Friday night, then Shabbos morning lights go back on at 10:30 and I come home from shul at 11 o'clock. So we make kiddush and we start eating and we get hanor from the lights. So isn't that a malocha shenasis me'eleha? The lights went on by themselves. It wasn't done bishvil noch, it wasn't done bishvil Yisrael. And we assume that it's mutta. So what happened to according to the Ramban, Even Peres HaNoshim, Mashken Shezol, even a Malacha Shenasis Me'eleho, also you're not allowed to get any Hanoi. Gzeira, Shema, he'll ask Anachri to do it. So the answer is, that's not called a Malacha Shenasis Me'eleho. if a Jew set the Shabbos clock in such a way that the light should go back on, the light should go off at 12 o'clock at night, Friday night, the light should go back on 10:30 in the morning, on Shabbos morning, that's not a malacha shenasim bela. It's malacha shenasim al-day Yisrael on the Erev Shabbos. Since he set the clock on Erev Shabbos, it's considered as if he did everything on Erev Shabbos, because he set it up in such a way that it happens later. That's malacha lachazman. Malacha lachazman is, it relates to me. I did the whole thing. But that's a malacha sha'asi Yisrael on the Erev Shabbos. That's the famous Nemuki Yosef in Bava Kamma. The Gemara has in the second parak in Bava Kamma, there's a machloikas amaroim regarding Eish. One of the four mazikim, Shor Bor, and Mavre and Hever, so Hever is Eish. Hever means Eish. So if a person takes a torch and he burns down my house, that's clearly Odama Mazik. So that's not called Eish, that's Odama Mazik. But what if he made a barbecue and he thought that he put out the fire and then he drives home? And it turns out that he didn't sufficiently extinguish the flame. Kiseitze Yesh, Leyatzma Mashma, the Gemara said, Kiseitze Yesh, Amotzekotzm, it was Bishege. He had a barbecue and then he thought that he succeeded in putting out the whole flame, he drives away. And then the whole village burns down. So it says, Shalem, Shalem, Hamavir Es HaBe'era. So the Pasuk calls him, we say, Isha Mishum Chitzov, because he was negligent with the Yesh. Doesn't have to belong to him, doesn't have to be his ownership. He was in charge of it. He was making the barbecue. And then he thought that he put it out, and he didn't. He was a little negligent. So that the Pasuk seemed to teach us. That's why Pasuk like Rabbi Yechanan, Machlek Zab Yechanan Mishlokish Kiseitze Eish, Miatzma Mashma. He didn't do it on purpose. He's not an arsonist. He was accidental. And nonetheless, the Chumash calls him Shalem Shalem Hamavir Es HaBeira. So you see that Isha Mishum Chitzov, it's considered Adam HaMazik. It's considered his Maisa. It's considered his Maisa. So that's what the Nemuki Yosef asks, the famous question, how can a woman bench licht on Erev Shabbos if Isha Mishum Chitzov, when she lights the candles on Erev Shabbos, is considered as if she's burning the candle the whole Shabbos? So she's violating the Malacha. So the Nemuki Yosef answers, no. She did everything on Erev Shabbos, so it's considered Isha Mishum Chitzov is considered as if she, but even though only 5 minutes worth, even 20 minutes worth, burnt on Erev Shabbos, she benches it. Let's say 20 minutes before the Shkia, half an hour before the Shkia, so half an hour's worth of the candle burnt down on Erev Shabbos, and the rest of the candle burnt. It took 5 hours till the rest of the candle burnt down. So then Muki Yosef says we consider it as if the whole act of Havara on the entire candle was done on Erev Shabbos. So the same over here. When a Jew sets the Shabbos clock and the lights go on Shabbos morning, it's not called Malacha Shenasis Mela. It's not Nasis Mela. It's a Malacha Shenasis Al Dei Yisrael. The Erev Shabbos is considered as if everything that followed, based on what he set up, the whole system, is if he did the whole thing on Erev Shabbos. So that, of course, you're permitted to be Nene from that. That's not, there's no reason to get Anor from that. So we just make a shvus, the shvus b'makam mitzvah, yeah. They ask Amir and Anachar to do it, the Rabbanon. So the Gemara has that cool, the shvus b'makam mitzvah, that's based on, that's a Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara says, once on the Shabbos, there was a baby boy born last week on Shabbos, and the bris was scheduled for this Shabbos. And in the days of the Gemara, the use of practice was, they used to bathe the baby before the bris and after the bris to prevent infection. And that was considered a suffix sakana. If you didn't bathe the baby with warm water before, you're not allowed to do the bris. And after you did the bris, you have to bathe the baby with warm water. And if it's Shabbos and you don't have warm water, and there's no nachri to ask to warm the warm water, the Jew is permitted to be mechal Shabbos because that's considered a suffix sakana. That's what it says in the Gemara. In the Shulchan Aruch it says, Rabbi Yosef Kara lived in the 1500s in Tzfat, and apparently the hygienic conditions were so much better than in the days of the Gemara. So the Mechaber writes that we don't bathe the baby anymore with warm water, not before the bris, not after the bris. We're not concerned now. We have antiseptics, so for sure not. But in the days of Rabbi Yosef Kara, they didn't have any antiseptics. They just said, even though the Gemara says it's a suffix sakana, bismanazeh, is no longer a suffix sakana. So the Gemara says there was a bris schedule for Shabbos, but you can't do the bris unless you have warm water. They prepared warm water in the home of the baby, and then all the warm water spilled out. Accidentally, all the warm water spilled out. So you're permitted to ask a nochri to bring warm water from a different house. If there's a erev, there's a mechitza around the whole area. Let's say it's an apartment building. So in Atar, the whole apartment building is one big Mishus HaYachid. But the Rabban and Shlomo HaMelech made a takana that you're not allowed to carry from one apartment to the other, or from the hallway into the apartment into the hallways. That's takana Shlomo HaMelech, that you need eruv v'chatzeris. You have to put away a box of matzah. So there was a mechitza around the whole area, but they hadn't put away the box of matzah. So that's only an Isser carrying mid the Rabbanon. So the Gemara says, Amira l'nochri, and carrying an achotze she'en amur rebbes, that's a double the Rabbanon. That's a shvus, the shvus b'makam mitzvah to enable the people to fulfill the mitzvah bris milah. So shvus, the shvus b'makam milah is mutter. The Tosis in Gitnan, Dab Chesan and Beis has two opinions. Maybe that's only b'makam milah, so because milah is so choshev a mitzvah, milah itself is derech Shabbos. But heating the water, that's called machshirei milah. So machshirei milah is not derech Shabbos. Machshirei milah was a machlekes of Leizer ben Hurkinis, of Leizer nechachamim. So that's one of the 24 prokim in Masech Shabbos. One of the whole the perek that's all about bris milah is known as Rav Leizer de Milah. Quotes it starts off with Rav Leizer ben Hurkin, is his opinion that not only milah bisman is derech Shabbos, even machshirei milah to carry the knife in the street would be mutter if the bris is going to take place on Shabbos, and to manufacture a knife and so on. So to heat the water in order to be able to perform the bris milah, that would also be machshirei milah. So we paskan against Rav Leizer. So we only permit Amira l'Nochri to carry the water, not Amira l'Nochri to cook water on Shabbos. That's Amira l'Nochri on a deraisa. Amira l'Nochri to carry an achotz she'enim u'rebis, but there's a mechitza around the whole area, but they hadn't put away a box of matzahs. There was no eruv v'chatzeris. Eruv v'chatzeris is the box of matzahs. In Yiddish today, we refer to the poles in the string. That's a tzuras ha'pesach. We refer to that as the eruv. The Goyim also called it there, but that's really a misnomer. That's not really the Erev. The Erev is the Baksa Matzis is the Erev. The string with the poles, that's the Tzuras HaPesach, that's the Mechitza. So the Gemara says that that's Mutter. They ask the Nochri to carry an Achot Hashem Morebis to enable us to do the Bris Milah, Shvuz the Shvuz, is Mutter to enable us to fulfill the Mitzvah Milah. So Tesis and Gittin, the Avches has two opinions. Maybe it's only applicable to Mila, because Mila is so chomer, Mila is a malacha, and Mila bisman is derech Shabbos. Maybe that's why it's mutter. What about Shvuz de Shvuz Mumak and many other mitzvahs? So there are two opinions in Shulchan Aruch, and the accepted opinion is that it's always mutter. Shvuz de Shvuz Mumak and mitzvah is always mutter. But we don't really follow this Balu Iter that's quoted here in the Ramon Siv Beis, because the Ramon says he has been outvoted. All the Rishonim disagree. All the Rishonim disagree. Now, because of the pandemic, so sometimes people passed away late Friday afternoon, and transportation is not so gewaldic. We haven't yet returned to the normal transportation. So sometimes if you won't allow the Nochrim to transport the body on Shabbos, the Kvura will be postponed till Monday. So that's a question that a lot of people are asking. Is it permissible to ask a Nochri to transport the Goyim in the funeral home, that they should make the arrangements to transport the body on Shabbos? So the Gemara said that it's not allowed. Even if you would like the Balu Iter, that Amir and Nochri is Mutter B'Makom Mitzvah, but not Kvuras HaMeis, why not? That's all the Rishonim say there on the Gemara, the end of Masech Shabbos. Because for everyone will remember when the yard site was, and then they'll say, yeah, we remember the funeral. The funeral was involved with Chilul Shabbos. The Goyim had to take the body on Shabbos in order to bury on Sunday, in order to bury earlier. So that's a special gzera. It's a bizayin ames. It's not considered a bizayin ames to have the Goyim bury him on Yontif. That says in the Gemara, ames on Yontif Rishon, Yisaska bo amimim, you have the Nochrim do the kvur. Based on Yontif Sheni, if there are no amimim, so we would allow Yisaska bo Yisrael, because במקום קבורס הנס, we allow you to do מלאכה on יתם שאין שאל גוליס, ככל שאביו הרבנן. You're allowed to do whatever you would do on a weekday for a funeral. But Shabbos is different. Shabbos is bizoyin. So there's a Tosfos in Bava Kamma, of all places, in Perek Merubah, Tosfos says, why is Shabbos different from Yontif? So Tosfos says, if a goy does malach on Yontif, the goy has no shaychus but Yontif. Yontif is reminiscent of Yitzias Mitzrayim, that's historical background for the Jewish people. Maimon Hasina, the Jewish people, Nasukas, Kippah Sukkos, Shabbos, Bnei Yisrael, Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Yom Tov and the Shalosh Shavuot have to do with Jewish history. So if a goy does malach on Yontif, that's not a bizdoin to the Yontif, because they have no shaychus with the background. Tosfos doesn't talk about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Why not the goyim? Yom Kippur is only Yom Achilas Slicha for the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Lucha Shnius on Yom Kippur, but Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin for everybody. So why do we allow Amir Lenochri to bury a mace on Rosh Hashanah? That's a yontif for everybody, I don't know. But Tosfos says, we wouldn't permit Amir Lenochri to bury a mace on Shabbos, because Shabbos is universal shaychus. It belongs to all the people in the world. Even though Nochri is not allowed to observe Shabbos, but still the idea of Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world, and he rested after 6 days, Sheshes Meibresh, he rested. So that when a Nochri does a Malach on Shabbos, that's considered a Chilul Shabbos. So you don't want to have this Bizoyan Ameis, they should say for many years later, oh, we remember the funeral, it was involved with Chilul Shabbos. So you're not permitted to have, even if you hold like the Balu Iter, that Amir and Nochri is Mutter and any Mokah Mitzvah, but not to do a Kvur on Shabbos. That we wouldn't permit, because that constitutes Bizoyan Ameis. The whole idea to rush the Kvur is Mishum Kikilus Elakim Tolik. He should bury the mace as soon as possible, because Kikilos Elokim Tolit, it's a Bizoyan Ameis, because man is created B'Tzelem Elokim, and the Jewish people are Bonim Lamokim, so it's a Bizoyan Ameis. But to have a person, to have Shabbos violated by Nochrim in order to do the Kvura earlier, that's a Bizoyan Ameis. So we wouldn't say there that the hurry, the Kvura, is a Kovet Ameis. To have the Kvura done by Nochrim on Shabbos, that's Bizoyan Ameis. Then in Sifhei has the famous din, we must have discussed it already, when the Maharam Rutenberg was put in prison by the German government, he hadn't violated anything, they had no claim against him, they just wanted to hold up the Jewish community for the ransom money. They knew the Jewish people had money, so they put the Maharam Rutenberg in prison. So the Rosh was a wealthy man, the Rosh was a Talmud of the Maharam Rutenberg, he was going to put up half the money that they wanted. He was going to raise the other half of the money from the Jewish community. The Maharam Paskin, like the Mishnah and Gittin, that you're not allowed to. And Poydim as Hashem, Yisrael Kedeit the name. It's prohibited to give Pidyon Shvuyim. Years ago, there used to be gangsters. There used to be hoodlums who would kidnap people and hold them hostage until the family would pay. Today, they still have. It's very common in South America and Mexico. They have a lot of kidnapping going on. So in the days of the Tanoim, you had this. So the Mishnah has a Takana, you're not allowed to do Pidyon Shvuyim, Yisrael Kedei Demeim. So because they were asking for an exorbitant amount of money, Maharam Rutenberg said, you're not allowed to give the money. And he said, even after I die, they shouldn't be paid to his dead body, they should let him right away in the prison. So Kozman, he was alive, they listened to him. And after he died, one of the Balabatim couldn't control himself, and he went and he gave a large sum of money that the body shouldn't be mutal bebizoyin. And even though he violated the wishes of the Maharam Rutenberg, he said they shouldn't be paid to me, not while I'm alive, not after I die. But nonetheless, the Jewish community decided that since this Balabas meant l'shem shemaim, kavod ha'meis, so when the Balabas died, he was buried next to the Maharam Rutenberg, because he was paid to him. And then after the Maharam Rutenberg died, so the Rush realized that he's going to be next. They're going to put him in prison and hold up the Jewish community for the ransom money. So he ran away to Spain. And he went, he used to correspond with the Rajba. I don't know what language they corresponded. The Rajba spoke Spanish. And the Rav Moa spoke German. Maybe they spoke Hebrew. I don't know what they corresponded in Hebrew. I don't know what language they spoke. And then he stayed by the Rajbo for a week, and then he got a Rabbanus in another city in Toledo. So when the Maharam Rutenberg was in prison, the Talmidim used to come every day. The prison guards allowed them to come every day. And he talked and learned with them. Just they held them hostage because they wanted the Jewish community to give the ransom money. So sometimes they would come on Shabbos and it would be freezing cold. So the Talmidim of the Maharam Rutenberg would ask the Goyish guard prisons, the prison guards, they should please make a fire to keep everybody warm. That's Amirul Anochr B'Mokam Choyle Shem B'Sakona. Not only is a mutter, if somebody already is a Choyle Shem B'Sakona to heal him, even if the person is going to get sick, he'll become a Choyle Shem B'Sakona. And if it's so cold, HaKol Chole Meitzo HaTzino. If it's very, very cold, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, you have to be careful. This hether, Amirul Anochr, to make the fire, to warm everybody, keep everybody warm, is only a mutter, Barotzos Karis. Mutter Leini Huri Lasses Medur B'Shvil Akhtanim. Yeah, and he says he ends off. Velokamosim shenogim heter af bishena kol gadol bayom avul. Only if it's mamish freezing and you're afraid someone's going to get sick, but otherwise it's there's no heter. Amir with the nochri is mutav b'makam chodesh em b'sakana. Whether the person already is a chodesh em b'sakana, you want to prevent them from becoming a chodesh em b'sakana. That's basically the sin and resha in both. Let's see what else is here. Then sin and resha in Zion talks about you have a candle on the back of the door. So the fellow's gonna, so if the door is closed, so the wind doesn't blow in from outside, it's gonna open the door. Sometimes a window is open and door is open, and it's gonna be cross ventilation. It may cause a breeze that may blow out the candle. So that's a problem. So you have to be careful not to be mechaber, not to cause that the candle should blow out. If it's unclear whether the candle will blow out or not, so strictly speaking, that's called a dov sheni miskaven is mutter. He's opening a door which is mutter, and it may or may not result in kibui haner, but he's not interested in causing kibui haner. So that's a machlekes of Yehuda and Reb Shimon. What's the din of a dov sheni miskaven? We paskan like Reb Shimon. Dov sheni miskaven is mutter. Not only mutter in Hilchos Shabbos, mutter in Kol HaTorah Kula. The din is a dov sheni miskaven mutter. But sometimes it'll be worse than a Dovish and Miskam. Sometimes it'll be mamish apsikresh, it'll be a vados, that by opening the door, it's the wind will blow out the candle. Same thing, not only if the candle's on the back of the door, let's say the candle's on the table. I'm going to open the door, there'll be a cross ventilation, there'll be a wind, and the wind will blow out the candle on the table. So you have to be careful not to cause kibui. How can, Tosis raises the question, how can you open the door? Why don't you declare that the door should be a basis l'davar ha'asur? Yeah, why is it a basis l'davar ha'asur? That's discussed a little bit over here. The Gemara says when you have a candle, that's in Reishayin Tes. Take a look in the beginning of Simen Reishayin Tes. If you have a candle, candlestick, there, she'idlik above basis Shabbos. They lit a benchlicht and this candlestick on Erev Shabbos. So everything, the candlestick with the wick, with the wax candle, everything has a status of a basis of davar ha'asur to the shalhevis on top. Why is the shalhevis mukta? On Shabbos it's mukta. On Yom Tov you're permitted to carry candles. Let's say you don't have all the lights on in the whole house. I remember when I was a little boy, my parents didn't leave on so many lights in the house. It was expensive. So we had candles on the table, and when you had to go to the bathroom, you would take the candles with you to take it into the bathroom. So on Yom Tov, we don't say that the flame is muktzah. Why is that? So the pashtus is that on Yom Tov, you're permitted to light another candle from this flame. So the shalhevis has a hishtamshus on Yom Tov. The shalhevis is a dovish yesh bo hishtamshus. So it's not muktzah on Yom Tov, but on Shabbos, you can use the light that comes from the shalhevis. You can warm your hands. I can hold my hands above the flame on top of the candle. I can use the warmth and I can use the light, but I can't use the actual Shalhevis itself. I can't, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to light another candle from this candle on Shabbos. That's the Malach of Avara. Avara on Shabbos doesn't make a difference, whether you strike a match or you light a flame from an already, you light a candle from an already existing flame. It's the same Malach of Avara. Same Malach of Avara. So the Shalhevis on Shabbos is a Dovah Shein Bo Hishtamshes. Hishtamshes means you Mishtamsh in the Gufa Dovah. Let's say there's a Mogen Avraham in Hilchas Shabbos. Mogen Avraham says if you have paintings hanging on the wall or photographs hanging on the wall, and we never take them down. If you, it's a common practice when guests come, you take down the paintings and you show them, take down the pictures and you show them. So then the pictures on the wall are a Dovah Sheish Bo Hishtamshes. Hishtamshes means Mishtamsh in the Gufa Dovah, I handle it. But if the pictures hang on the wall, we never take it down, unless we're putting up new wallpaper, unless you're painting the walls or something. But if you're not painting the walls, then you leave the pictures there, oil on void. So it's a Dovah Shein Bo Hishtamshes. And then the Mogen Avraham says that they can't, the paintings or the picture photographs on the wall have a din of muktzah. One of the later volumes of the Igros Moshe, they have short psukim Bera Moshe when he was very old. He didn't write long tshuvas, so they have a short psak. Somebody told him that the paintings on the photographs hanging on the wall are muktzah. He doesn't say why it should be muktzah. But that's what the Mogen Avraham says, and it's based on a Gemara. That if you have a Dovah Shein Bo Hishtamshes, the Gemara says that Michael Behema is not muktzah. Michael Behema is not muktzah. Only if you plan to feed it to the animal. Well, let's say you have a situation where the you have a beehive, and you leave some of the honey for the bees to eat, and you're never going to handle it. You're just going to leave it there, and the bees are going to eat the honey themselves. But you know, you don't plan to handle it at all. So then the Gemara says that the comb of honey that's miyuchad for the bees to eat has no hishtamshes at all on Shabbos. The person doesn't plan to handle it ever. So then a dov shein bo hishtamshes, hishtamshes mit megufa dover, that's considered muktzah. So the flame on Shabbos is muktzah, flame on yandam is not muktzah. So the Gemara says, hanach l'ner shem min ha'psila, that the candlestick is the ner, and the wick, the psila, and the shemen, and the candle, all three are basis l'dover ha'asa to the shalhevis. So that's why you're not allowed to handle them. So if you lit, let's say, you lit candles in a candlestick on Erev Shabbos, and then the candles went out in the middle of the night. After four or five hours, the candles go out. So now it's no longer a basis dover ha'asa, so it should be mutter. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. And we pasken, migu dis katzoy leben hashmashes, is katzoy lekula yad. Since it was basis ben hashmashes, it remains basis the rest of the day. What if someone lit a candle in the middle of Shabbos? What if someone lit a candle in the middle of Shabbos? So that's later in this siman. Nesha idliku b'Shabbos. Sif hey, a Jew lit b'nezit b'shoigig, agoy, whatever. Someone lit something in the middle of Shabbos. And kozman, the candle is burning. The candlestick will be have the status of a basis d'avrasa. But let's say the candle was burning for 5 hours, from 11 o'clock in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Shut. The candle was burning for 5 hours. So at that time, everything was buses. Do you say, Migud is katsoy for 5 hours, is katsoy l'shar hayom? Well, no, they only say, Migud is katsoy l'bein hashmashes, is katsoy l'kuliyam. That's what the Gemara has a lashon, ein muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos. What do you mean, ein muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos? There is no such rule. Let's say I have a bottle in the beginning of Shabbos and it smashes in the middle of Shabbos. So what are you going to say? Nothing can become muktzah in the middle of Shabbos. Things can become muktzah in the middle of Shabbos. Here, if the goy lights the candle with the authorization of this, the goy lights the candle in the middle of Shabbos, the candlestick does become a basis. But ein muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos means just because something was muktzah for 5 hours in the middle of Shabbos between 11 o'clock in the morning on Shabbos morning and 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the candlestick was a basis. You don't say migud is katzoy to the middle of Shabbos, is katzoy l'soif hayom. That's called ein muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos. You only say migud is katzoy from bein hashmashes to the end of the day. So that's all explained in Siman Reish Ayin Tes, all the dinim of buses. The Gemara says buses davaros is only if he's meniach. If he's shocheach, then there's no issue of buses davaros. So that's what the Tosfos here discusses. This Reish Ayin Zayin, the first sif in Reish Ayin Zayin, they left the candle burning on the back of the door. So Tosfos is bothered with the question: why? How can you open the door? How can you open or close the door? The door should be a basis l'davar ha'asar, because it has the burning candle on it. So just like the candlestick that holds up the flame, hanach l'neshem and the psilah of an asas basis davar ha'asar, so why shouldn't the door be a basis davar ha'asar? So Tosfos has two answers. The one answer is enach enami, it's talking shocheach. He forgot. He had the candle burning on Erev Shabbos, it was dark in the afternoon. And then he forgot to blow it out. He really didn't want to, he didn't intend to leave the candle there the whole Shabbos. And since it's only Shacheach, the door doesn't become Basis Davaros. It only becomes a Basis if Meniach, the Das. And that's why Tosfos has it in. Let's say I'm a guest in your home for Shabbos, and I come Erev Shabbos, and you give me a room, I'm going to sleep in the room, and you have some silver trays there. And on Erev Shabbos, I come with my wallet, and I put my wallet on top of one of the silver trays. I didn't ask your permission. You didn't authorize me. I didn't think I'm doing anything wrong. And then in the middle of Shabbos, you need one of the silver trays. So you go into the bedroom where I'm sleeping, and you want to take the tray, but I made the tray of buses. I put my wallet with money on top of the tray. So Tosfos says, Ein on the Moshe Dabash Ein Shaloi. Since it only becomes a buses if it's Meniach, if you're cooking flesh and I pour milk into your flesh, so Tosfos writes in the Rambam, you don't say Eid al Moshe Dabar Shein Shaloi. Even if the milk leaks in by itself, it's also going to be Basa B'cholav. You don't have Kabana, you don't need Kabanas Agavra to make it Basa B'cholav, it becomes Basa B'cholav by itself. But a Basis is only Osir if it's Miniach on purpose, and if I'm not the owner, I have no right to designate it as a Basis. So that's one answer that Tosfos gives, that the door doesn't become a basis here. It's talking shocheach. He wasn't thinking on Erev Shabbos. By mistake, he left the candle lit. So therefore, the door doesn't become a basis. What if he put it there? The mezid had been miskaven. It's his house, and he wants it there. So according to that opinion of Tosfos, the door would become a basis. And Tosfos gives another answer, and that's the answer that we accept la halacha, that not only is it not a basis if it's shocheach, even over here, if it's Meniach, it doesn't become a basis, because the door is part of the whole building. So if I have a table, and the table has a drawer, and I left my wallet in the drawer, does the whole table become a basis? Because the drawer became a basis. So Tosfos says the second answer, no. Let's say I have a jacket and it has a pocket. So I left the dollar bill in the pocket. So the pocket becomes a basis. So the whole jacket becomes a basis. The pocket is only part of the whole jacket. So the whole thing does not become a basis. So that's what Tosfos suggests over here. Since the door is part of the whole building, so the rest of the building didn't become a basis. Even the door also doesn't become a basis, even though it was Meniach. Yeah, so that's the way we assume Laloch. One should be careful not to cause Havara or Kibbutz. Let's say there's a fireplace and there are logs in the fireplace and there's a fire, but it's getting schwach. And if I'll open the door, there's such a storm going on outside, the wind is blowing, so the wind will blow on the logs in the fireplace, and some of them that used to be black coals will light up and they'll become orange. So that's Havara. You have to be careful not to open the door in such a way to cause Havara, to cause Kibui. Then the Ramah has, this is a famous Ramah. The last line in Sif Gimel. The Ramah has it in Semirei Shayin Zayin Sif Gimel. Tiltal muktzah is only osur to move it from one place to the other. To touch muktzah is not an issur, but if it's a very light item, let's say beitzah shenol de biyantif is muktzah. That's the opening mishnah maseches beitzah. Beitzah shenol de biyantif is muktzah. So you're not allowed to handle it. What about to touch it? So the Rishonim said, because a beitzah is such a light thing, if you're going to touch it, it can move. If you won't be very, very careful, you're going to move it so that you shouldn't even touch it because you may move it. What if you have the menorah of the Beis HaKnesses, v'haner is dolkas olov? You have a heavy menorah that's attached in the shul, it's attached to the floor. You can't move it. You have an automobile. You're going to touch an automobile, it's not going to move. If you sit on the automobile, it's going to shake up and down. That'll be tilta muktza. But if you just touch the menorah sagdolah of the Beis HaKnesses, it's not going to move so much. So the Ramah says that's mutter to touch. That's mutter to touch, because strictly speaking, muktza is only also the letaltel, to move it from one place to the other. Tilta muktza is exevishem mayotzi. We don't allow you to handle it in the house, lest you'll forget to carry it into the street. But if it's such a heavy thing that you can't carry it in the street, it's attached. So then it's mutter to touch it. Then there's no issue. Then in Sifhei, there's a machlokes in the Gemara, and the Shulchan Aruch gives the psak lahakel. Let's say I have a wooden hut. I live in a wooden hut, and we bench licht on the table, and the roof of the hut is not so high. It's not 6.5 feet high. It's 5 feet high, and the table is pretty high. I have a table. And the candles are tall, and the candle, the flame of the candle is so close to the roof, to the wooden roof, it may cause the roof to catch fire, or may cause the roof to collapse. So is it permissible? That's in Sifhei. Muta lichbas kaira agabi haner, b'shabes kidei shelo yochas ha'ur b'kaira. I'm afraid that the flame is going to cause the roof to catch fire, and the whole hut is going to burn down. So am I permitted to handle? We're not talking a sofik sakana, just a hepsid moment. The whole wooden hut will burn down. No, we're not talking no chodei yesh b'sakana, no sakana at all. So the question is, I want to put a plate. I have a metal plate. I want to put a metal plate, which is not muktzeh, in between the flame at the top of the candle and the wooden roof, that it shouldn't catch fire. That the metal should be hot, but it shouldn't cause the wood on top of it to catch fire. So the question, there was an opinion in the Gemara, which the Shulchan Aruch is rejecting. The Gemara rejects it. There was an opinion in the Gemara that ein kli nital el letzarch dover anital, that you're not allowed to handle a kli to protect something which you're not allowed to handle. Let's say, for example, let's say there's $1,000 bill on the table, and a nachri is going to come into the room, and I'm afraid he's going to see the money, he's going to walk off with my money. So I want to take a plate and put it on top of the $1,000 bill, so the nachri shouldn't see it, so he shouldn't have any ideas, shouldn't have any chalomis of stealing my money. So one opinion in Gemara is that you're not allowed to do that. The plate that you're going to put is not muktzeh. But if your intention in handling the plate is to protect the money, and the money is muktzeh, so then enkli nito, the letzort abrahandiko. So we paskin that it's not so. It's permissible to take a kaira, which is not muktzeh, and to, you're not allowed to put a, let's say the Mishnah says, they bench licht on Erev Shabbos, and some of the wax is, and the wax under the flame is bussel sedaber hasas. Some of the wax is dripping down on the table. So I don't want the tablecloth to get ruined. So I want to put a paper plate, let's say. I want to put whatever. I want to put a plate just where the wax is dripping down. So the plate should collect the wax. And after Shabbos, I'll be able to remove all the wax from the plate. So the Gemara says, that you're not allowed to do. That's mevatel kli me'echana. I'm causing the plate, or the paper plate that I put under the dripping wax, to become a bussel. So to take a useful kli and to make it into a buses, now it's going to become muktzeh, that's osir on Shabbos. What exactly is the isir is not that clear. Tosfos points out that Rashi in two places in Masechet Shabbos has two pshatim. One pshat Rashi says is that it's bona, because it's considered as if I nailed the plate the table over here. I can't budge the plate now. Now that I made the plate into a basa davar asas, I can't move it. So it's like a violation of bona, as if I nailed the plate down. The other Rashi and both of Masechus Shabbos, 100 lot apart from each other, the other Rashi writes that it's soser. I used to have a plate that was useful, and now I ruined the plate. Now I can't use it on Shabbos because I made it into buses. The Tosfos points out, it says, Thira, that's the whole Tosfos. They point out two Pirushim and Rashi contradict each other. But that's the din, that to cause a plate to become a buses, Dabrasa, to cause something to convert, to become Mukta, that you're not allowed to do. But over here, you're not making the silver plate into a basa. You're putting the silver plate in between the flame on top of the candle and the roof, and the wooden roof on the hut. So it's not becoming a basa. So that was an opinion, there was an opinion in Gemara that that's also not allowed. Enkli nital, self-davar nital, and we don't accept that. We paskan that it's muta. Why was there such an opinion? What's the pshat, the mandama who thought that it is awesome? Why did he think that it's awesome? So that, there seems to be, Rabbi Kivega points out, there are two sugyas, the same sugya appears both in Beitza and in Shabbos, and there's a discrepancy between the way it's presented. So Rabbi Kivega points out, there's a discrepancy in Rashi between the two Gemaras, and it's not Rashi's fault, because there's a discrepancy in the Gemaras. So Rabbi Kivega points out, in one place Rashi said based on the Gemara and Shabbos, in one place in Beitza he said based on the Gemara and Beitza. In one place Rashi learns that it's also like buses. When you're handling a plate, not only does it become a buses if you put it under the dripping wax, and the wax which is muktzeh, because the wax is buses, because there was a shalhevis on top of it. So not only does the plate that's on the bottom of the wax become a buses. When I carry a plate to prevent the fire from burning the roof and the hut and the wooden hut, so it's also in a certain sense a buses. It's on top, but it's mishamish the flame. It's preventing the flame from burning the house. So it's also din a buses, and it's midin muktzeh. And the other sugya seems to learn that it's not midin. We paskin that it's mutter. But the question is, the Amora from Eretz Yisrael, I thought the Gemara quotes an Amora from Eretz Yisrael, he thought that it was also. Why did he think that it's also? So one Gemara presents it that it's also because we consider it like a buses, it's a tiltum muktzeh. And the other Gemara says it's also because of tiltum kelim. The Menachem ben Chakalia, the Gemara says, there was so much chilul Shabbos. There was a lot of Chilul Shabbos, so they made a lot of Gzeiras, the Rabbanon at that time. So they made a Gzeira, Tiltul Kalim. You're not allowed to be Metaltul Kalim. So they made a Gzeira, you're not allowed to be Metaltul Klisha Malachta Le Heter on Klisha Malachta Le Yisr. There's a difference. Tiltul Kalim is one Yisr, Muktz is a different Yisr. In Shulchan Aruch, Reishayin Tes, the Shulchan Aruch explains it. Let's say if you have, you left a screwdriver or a hammer on the table. So a screwdriver hammer is a kli, but it's a kli shemalachta liyisa. Most of the time I use a screwdriver and a hammer to do a malacha. Once in a while I need the hammer and the screwdriver to pry open a jar, or to bang on a walnut, to crack open a tough nut, or to bang on a jar, to loosen it a little bit. So it's whenever you have, let's say you have a pen or a pencil, the Iker Hishtamshis is for Ksiva, Roy Malachta Liyisir, Niut Malachta Liheter, a little bit, you use the pencil sometimes to scratch your head, but to keep the place in the Gemara, you put a pencil to show where you're learning, or you don't write with it, or you just keep it on page 58, you put it over here, so you won't lose your place. It says, a pen or a pencil is Roy Malachta Liyisir, Niut Malachta Liheter. That's called Klisha Malachta Liyisir, so you're not allowed to be metaltal it, Shalolat Zorach, Ariva Mechama Letzel, to protect it. But let's say they left the screwdriver or the hammer on the table, and Zorach Lemkoma, somebody wants to eat there, over there, so it's in the way. But Zorach Legufo, I want to take the hammer to crack open a nut, a walnut, on Shabbos, I want to eat the walnut. Zorach Legufo, I'm going to use it. So then, Zorach Legufo, the Zorach Lemkoma, we pass on that as Mutta. But if you have Muktzamamish means the thing is not a kli at all. Eitzim Avon of the offer, you have logs. Anything that's Muktzah Mamish, the Gemara says the Dina, the Gemara says the first daf in Perikol HaKelim. that the din of mukta was called the tikkun rabbanan came the raisa tikkun. It was patterned after the din deraisa of kabbalas tuma. That there are four categories of things that are mekabel tuma in the chumash. Or the mekelim ochlim amashkim. That's the gemara, the first daf in Bava Kama. Or the mekelim arona mekabel tuma from an av or above, avi avos, and ochlim amashkim are even mekabel tuma from a tolda. So all the mekelim ochlim amashkim are dvarim chashuvim. So that they never asked mukta because they didn't want to make life too difficult on Shabbos. But if you have something that's not all the mekelim, it's not ochlim amashkim, it's not mekabel tuma because it's junk. It's not so important. So they made the gzeri. You're not allowed to handle it on Shabbos. Gzeri shem yotzi. They should have made a gzeri shem yotzi on everything. But that would make life too difficult. That would be a gzeri shem yotzi b'cholim lamed boy. So whatever falls into the four categories of Adam Mekelem, Ochlem, and Mashkim, so that they never asked. So that's it. So if you have mukta mamish, eitzim abona b'yofor, a piece of junk mamish, is mukta mamish, you're not even allowed to move it, so move for the self mukama, let's say money. Money is considered mukta mamish, it's not a kli. But if you have a screwdriver or a hammer, that's a kli shemalach to the isa, so that's mukta latalta, let's all move for the self mukama. So if you have a ner shehidlika bo beosa Shabbos, so we paskan, you're not allowed to move it, even the tzok move for the tzok mukama. That's a resha intesiv base. The ner is a basis, a dabra asr, is also the talkal afila tzokhu tzok mukama. Yesh mi shehidir, velon nir dvarav. The Mechaber says, it doesn't make sense. That's against the whole Gemara. If something is mamish mukta, basis dabra asr is also mukta. Not only if it's mukta machmas gufo, even if it's only mukta because it's a basis, mukta is mukta. So whenever something is mukta, you're not allowed to handle it, even the tzalkuf of the tzalkman kama. But if it's only a klit malach to the yisr, then the tzalkuf of the tzalkman kama would be mukta to move it. Yeah.
We said if you lean against the car, if it doesn't move, there's no problem.
If it's a very heavy car, yeah, but probably the car will shake a little bit, yeah.
Right, so if what happens if a person leaned against the thing, he wouldn't shake, and it shakes, can he move away? Because it'll shake back again.
What's the alternative? He has to stay there.
He has to stay there.
The Gemara has such a discussion in the end of Erev, and what should he do? He climbed up on a tree in the middle of Shabbos. So you're not allowed to climb on a tree. But we're going to tell him, stay there the whole Shabbos. So he's violating in Olam B'Ilam B'Shei B'Altas. And if he climbs down, he'll be in violation of Eilim Mekum B'Yaseh, but for a shorter period of time. It'll take him 1 minute to climb down. And if you tell him he's not allowed to climb on a tree, Mekum B'Yaseh, but it's better he should remain on the tree, he'll be in violation of Eilim B'Yilim B'Shei B'Altaseh for many hours till the end of Shabbos. So I think the Gemara says it's better to climb down. That's a discussion, the last period in Erevin. I think the Gemara says it's better to climb down on Shabbos to violate in Olam Ilam Mekum B'Yaseh only for a minute, rather than to continue to violate it B'Shei B'Altaseh for many hours. Okay, maybe we'll stop here in the middle of Reish Ayin Tes. Yeah. There's a sefer that was written in the days of the Bali Atesis. There was a group of Bali Atesis that went on Aliyah Teretz Yisrael. So one of the Bali Atesis wrote a sefer Kafta Baferach. He has about the significance of living in Eretz Yisrael and where you observe one day Yontif when you observe 2 days Yontif. And he talks about mitzvahs on Kli Yisba'aretz. Then he also, chapter after chapter, it keeps on going, all sefer. And then he writes that there was an earlier Aliyah, I think Rabbi Chilmi Paris, there was an earlier Aliyah, Bali Atesis moved to Eretz Yisrael, and they were discussing the possibility, they never did it, they were discussing the possibility of making a Mizbeach and bringing a Korban Pesach. But it never turned out. So in this Sefer Kaftar Ferach, he raises some of the issues. What do you mean, bring a Korban Pesach? Everybody's tummy, how can you bring a Korban Pesach to Tuma? So that's when he raises an issue. Then five chapters later, he says, oh, the issue that I raise is a non-issue. Because if everybody's tummy, right? Hatzibah's tummy. So Pesach has bo b'tuma. Tuma is muta b'tzibah. Then he raises a few other issues. So in the days, the Chidor lived in the 1700s. So the Chidor quotes this in the Birkei Yosef and Hilchas Erev Pesach. that's when you bring the Korban Pesach and Erev Pesach. So he says he's surprised. You have to make a mizbech. He can't be makrev the korban. He can't be zorek the dam on the floor. You have to be zorek the dam on a mizbech. So you have to build a mizbech, and you have to be makter the emurim on the mizbech. When you build a mizbech, you have to be mikarishit. So in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Chumash says, we read all about it. Tumat Tzava Bayakal Tikudu Kalakim Shasa Moshe Mishichas Mikachas. Moshe Rabbeinu did Mishicha B'Shem and Mishchas Kodesh and gave the Kelim Kedusha. The Kam Yelach after the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they no longer have that din. Mishichas Mikachas, but the din is Avodasa Mechanchas. You have to do the Avodah. So which Avodah, let's say, so you make a Mizbeach. So what Avodah do you do? So the Mishnah says in Menachas, you have to start from the beginning. Why betomet shel shachar? Because you have to bring karbonos all day long, and the karbonos always begin from the beginning. You have to begin with the tomet shel shachar. So the Rishonim only had the havamina to make a mizbeach and bring a korban pesach. They never had a havamina to make a mizbeach to bring tamidim u'masafim. That they never had a havamina. Why? Because to bring tamidim u'masafim, you have to buy from machzah shekel money. You have to get all of Klal Yisrael to participate. You have 100 Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. That's not Klal Yisrael. You have to get all the Jews all over the world interested in chipping in. Torah says, Hashem Yarba Vahadal Yamet. I can't donate $500,000, even if one of them would be a wealthy man. He can't give all the money to fund all the Karbanos Tzibur and Yotze. So that's what the Chidah asks. So since a mechanchan is a mizbech ala b'tomet shel shachar, and there never was a havamina to bring a tomet, because you need machzah shekel money for that. Machzah shekel, you need the whole Klal Yisrael. So how did they have a havamina to bring a korban pesach? You can't be mechanach the mizbech with the korban pesach. You have to be mechanach with the tomet shel shachar. Tomet shel shachar you can't bring unless you have machzah shekel. So how was there ever a havamina to bring a korban pesach? That's the kasha that the Chidah asks. So he makes a suggestion, maybe that din in the Mishnah, Mechadchan, Samizbech, Ala Betam Shal Shachar, maybe it's only Lechadchil, maybe it's not Miyakad Biliyev. That's a surprising answer. The simple reading in the Mishnah sounds like it's Miyakad Biliyev. So we suggested a possible answer. We spoke about this in previous years. Maybe the din, Mechadchan, Samizbech, Ala Betam Shal Shachar, only applies the other 354 days of the year. Because the din is, all karbanos in Parshas Vayikra, this week, all the karbanos have to be brought sandwiched in between the Tamas Shal Shachar, Tamas Shal Bein HaHabayim. The Gemara calls that Esei Da Hashlama. Alei HaShlem, call a karbanos kulam. That's called Esei Da Hashlama. You shouldn't bring any karbanos before the Tamas Shal Shachar, nor should you bring any karbanos after the Tamas Shal Bein HaHabayim. So the Tamas Shal Shachar is the beginning of the Hakrovas Karbanos Hayom, and the Kandielach Avedosim Mechanchosam, after the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to do the Avodah, you have to start the Avodah from the beginning. So the beginning is the Tamas Shel Shachar. That's only every other day of the year, but on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, the Korban Pesach is brought Davka after the Tamas Shel Bein Arbaim. So you see, that's not part of that series. All the Karbanos all year long belong to one series. You bring Tamas Shel Shachar in the morning, Tamas Shel Bein HaBayim in the afternoon, and everything else in between. So the beginning of all the Hakrabas HaKrabanis is Tamas Shel Shachar. So that's Taka the din. Hey, Mechad Chan Sa Mizbeach, Ela B'Tamas Shel Shachar. But if you build a Mizbeach, and the first time you'd be able to bring a Korban is Korban Pesach, after the Tamas Shel Bein HaBayim, that's a series of Hakrabas unto its own. That's a Seder Avodah separate Baraya. You started after the Tamas Shel Bein HaBayim. So maybe there, one day of the year, you can be mechanach the mizbech with the korban pesach, because that's a seder avodah unto its own. So they had three shifts. So the first shift will do the avodah. The first shift will be mechanach the mizbech with the hakrovas korban pesach. It's a seder avodah b'fnei atzma. That was the suggestion. Okay, Belineda, next week we will speak a little bit about Inyani Pesach.
Rav Schefter, could I ask a question? You talked about the pocket of a jacket being a bosses, but the jacket itself not then being a bosses.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's all, but it's all one unit. How do you differentiate between?
I think that the pocket doesn't become buses either, since the pocket is only part of a bigger kli, and the rest of the kli did not become a buses. So even the tofel bigger part also didn't. That's what they said. The rest of the house is not a buses for the candle. The candle is only on the back of the door. So since the door is part of the whole house, even the door itself does not become a buses. If the door would become a bus, you wouldn't be allowed to open or close the door at all. There wouldn't be anything to discuss. Yeah, so that's it. And then Tosis interprets the Gemara like that. Not only this, then Tosis interprets on Mishnah that the Gemara quotes in Perikira based on that assumption.
Rabbi, would there be a difference as far as motzi, each person making for themselves, if they're also making alachilas matzah or leishay basuka in congruence with them?
It is a difference. The Gemara says usually if you're just saying Hamoitzi, even on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you cannot say Hamoitzi for me unless you need the bracha yourself. And I'm Yotze along with you. I'm Yotze with Shemer Koin. But on Seder night, when you say Hamoitzi Alachilas Matzah, even if you already finished your Seder, or let's say you're not in the middle of your Seder, you're going to have a Seder later, and you're in my house, so you can say the bracha is both brachas for me. Not only al achilas matzah can you say for me, if I don't know how to say the bracha, the din is a yotza moitzi. You can even say hamoitzi lechman or it's for me. Because hamoitzi goes along with the al achilas matzah. It's part of the whole Seder, part of the whole Haggadah. So since on the rest of the Haggadah we say yotza moitzi, even though you're not being yotzi now, you can say the bracha for me. So even on the hamoitzi lechman or it's, of Alachilas Matzah, you can also be Matzah. It is a difference. That's a Gemara Rosh Hashanah.
You're supposed to do that? Each person should also make Hamotzi Lechem in Haaretz?
No. If one person says, everybody can be Yotzi with him. You don't have to know, but the Gemara has a Chiddush that let's say the one is saying Hamotzi Alachilas Matzah, he already had a Seder. And he's starting a Seder, he's saying the brachas only for me. So he, because the Hamotzi along with the Alachilas Matzah, he's permitted to say the both brachas for me, even though all year long he cannot say hamoitzi to be moitzi me if he's not eating himself. If everybody's being yotzi together, let the father of the household say the two brachas. Or if everybody wants to say their own brachas, then everyone should have their own 2.5 matzahs. So yeah, if you have a lot of
what about leishay basuka, the same thing.
Leishay basuka usually we say at the end of the kiddush. So whoever says the Kiddush says Leisha Basuk, and everybody's Yotzei. You want it to be a bracha ala kos. Leisha Basuk you can say without a kos, Yayin. The rest of Sukkahs, you don't say Leisha Basuk ala kos. But on Leil Yom Tov, when you're saying Kiddush, so you may as well enhance the chashivas of the bracha by saying Leisha Basuk also ala kos. So if I'm going to say Kiddush and be mochi everybody, then everybody's going to say their own Leisha Basuk. So what do they gain by that? It was better that they should be yotzei with my leisha basuka, that I was holding the cup of wine at the time. I elevated the chashivas of the leisha basuka. I made it into a bracha lakos. What about shalashudas? That one?
If you make shalashudas on Shabbos, and you say I'm also lechem in the oritz on the two chalas,
yeah,
and you also say leisha basuka. So should each person say Leisha Basuka also?
No. Why should they?
Birchas HaMitzvah?
Yeah, Birchas HaMitzvah. You can be Yotze with someone else's Birchas HaMitzvah. That's Shemer Koine. Better, it's preferable, Berovam Hades Malach, if you have five people sitting in Sukkah together, rather than have each one say his own Leisha Basuka, preferable one should say the Bracha to be Motzi all five. That's Berovam Hades Malach.
Okay, thank you.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So believe that it's speaking. We'll speak in Yoni Pesach.
Yishkoach.
Good night.
Thank you.
Yishkoach.